Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 3rd, 2014. And with me today, I have two brilliant people that I'm always excited to have on. Kelly Gaumont, how are you, Kelly?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Brian Chaffin, it's just like a big exciting party because you're here.
Wah, wah.
Or a sad trombone party. Whatevs. I can roll with it. Yeah. We have a sponsor this week, Smile, and Text Expander Touch 3. So I'll mention that a little bit. First topic I wanted to hit today is one of those things where I sat back and thought, oh, man, what's wrong with people? And And this is the news. All right. So backstory. Last week, Tim Cook made it, he made a public proclamation that he's gay, and did it in a very eloquent way that hopefully is going to be inspirational for a lot of people that might be scared or worried or confused, and so good for Tim,
and educational for those who may be, shall we say, on the wrong side of history.
Yes.
That's
how we shall say that. And speaking of wrong side of history, that leads into today's topic, which is the news that the company that installed the Steve Jobs Memorial in St. Petersburg in Russia has torn it down because Tim Cook is gay.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Now, I just want to point out, for people who maybe didn't finish their coffee this morning, Jeff really did say it was a memorial to Steve Jobs that is being torn down because Tim Cook is gay.
Well, yeah, but Steve may have had some of the gay rub off on him all those years ago.
They probably did shake hands at one point.
Yeah, and so, you know,
it is apparently easier to catch the gay than Ebola.
That whole time, Steve could have had a little bit of gayness or something that maybe didn't show. So really,
you gotta watch for the latent gay.
They're just really being proactive there in the fine, fine, fine country of Russia.
Now, there's more to this, of course.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there's more. They also said that that another reason, which they kind of tossed out as an aside, is totally related to Edward Snowden and the documents that he's released showing that that the NSA has been doing spying. So they kind of rolled that in too. But wait, there's more. They also said that they would consider reinstalling the memorial if it was reworked so that it told people to not buy Apple products.
Yeah, because that's just even stupider. I mean,
I don't know. I think it totally makes sense because gay.
That is such a you can say we think this man is awesome, but don't buy Apple products. But that's not it is just stupid. Oh man, it's just I
apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I think the stupid is burning Brian. I think is what has happened here.
Yeah, and you know. Okay, so a sad, really sad thing. Well, the whole thing is just really sad. But one of the things that really stands out to me in the cumulative sadness of tearing down this memorial is that it really drives home just how deeply ingrained homophobia is in Russia right now.
This is true.
It's true, and it's tied to, I mean, you know, the Putin administration has very carefully linked homophobia with the nationalism, and tied that into Russia's, you know, ongoing struggle to understand who and what it is, and by who I mean Russians. And you know, Russia is such a fascinating place in general, and the struggle. I'm sorry, I'm really struggling with my words here. But their struggle is in getting what they perceive to be the respect that they deserve and have earned as a great country. And Putin has very, 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 very carefully and well tied or tapped into that sort of national angst, and helping to drive it is homophobia, just like the Nazis used anti-Semitism back in the 30s to help unite Germany. And on top of that, you've got the Russian Orthodox Church and its fundamentalism and anti-homophobia too. I mean, there's just so much involved in it, and it's all just stupid, in my opinion.
It's
but it is because stupid. Fear is a good way to get people to do what you want them to do.
Yep.
And if that weren't the case, then all of the political ads that we've all been watching for the last month would be totally different.
And you know, the reality is that Tim coming out. Again, not that it was much of a, I don't know. Apparently, maybe it was a secret in Russia. Who knows? Tim coming out may have negative repercussions for Apple in some markets and with some demographics. It'll probably be balanced, by places where it actually helps Apple. And of course, in the grand scheme of things, it really isn't going to matter at all. But I think Russia is one place where this could be an issue for Apple. Apple doesn't have a ton of sales in Russia in the first place, and Apple's definitely going to have a harder time doing business in that country because of the raging homophobia in the country.
Well, and the hurdle is higher. To point out, because it's already not easy to be an obviously American company doing business in Russia. So adding this is really just not doing them any favors.
Well, I think that the impact on Apple product sales in Russia will be relatively small, and that's even if the legit channels have to stop selling or have to curtail their sales dramatically. I think those sales will just shift over to gray market and continue to happen.
Well, yeah, but it is possible that as an effort to further thwart an American company. And further thwart the both from a political and economic standpoint, that Russia itself, the Kremlin, the Putin administration, could actually use this as an excuse to keep Apple from doing as much business in the country. That is quite possible. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It was. I'm so glad that Tim did this, and in the long run, the actual issue of homophobia could be improved in Russia by Tim coming out in the long run.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, the bottom line is, I don't care who you love. That's between you and who you love. And that's the way it should be. And I would like to see a time when Russia is far more accepting. In that respect, I think we are getting better to a degree in this country, but I would like to see that improve even more. And I hope that what Tim Cook has done is an inspiration and a catalyst to help bring not just our country, but other countries as well forward like that.
We can hope.
Yeah, we can hope. And so I think this is a great place to break. So, like I said, we have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Smile. So that's smile.com. These are the guys that make Text Expander Touch 3 for for the iPhone and the iPad. And this is one of those apps that is no surprise to a lot of people, one that I kind of have to live by both on my Mac and on my iPhone and iPad. What it does is it lets you have a group of we'll call them snippets, that when you type these little abbreviations, they automatically expand out into words and phrases or graphics or whatever it is that is going to make your life easier and is going to cut down on how much typing you have to do. You can share that database of snippets between all of your devices, which is wonderful. And since we have iOS 8, that means that you can have your custom keyboard that you use in any app. So that means it works with Mail, it works with Safari, you can use it in Messages, wherever you want. And it's an absolutely fantastic little product. And please go check it out because they're supporting us, and let them know that you like hearing about them on our show, please, too.
Yeah. Smile is a great company run by great people making great products.
Yes. And I will have a link in the show notes so that you can go check them out. So thank you, Smile, for supporting us. I really appreciate it.
And pro tip, if you've ever watched somebody sit in front of a computer, which is not their own, and type maybe a keystroke or three or four letters and then wait for something to happen and then be confused when it doesn't happen, it's because that person is very used to having Text Expander on their computer. And being able to type those three keys and have it pop out into an entire well-formatted paragraph of information, and when that doesn't happen, it gets weird.
Yep. That's
so if you've ever seen that, you're actually spotting a Text Expander user in the wild.
Yep, that's life as a Text Expander user. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today, this is a piece, Brian, that you wrote, and it's about Trent Reznor's involvement with Apple and his hints at a secret project that he's involved in.
Yeah, well, first of all, though, let's please take out a take a brief moment to recognize the fact that Pretty Hate Machine came out 25 years ago.
So it did.
Go ahead, feel old. 25 years ago, 1989.
We got to wrap this up. There's kids on my lawn.
Well played, well played. So Trent Reznor is the frontman for Nine Inch Nails, one of the instrumental bands, one of the bands that were instrumental into bringing so-called industrial music and making that a thing. And he was, in addition to fronting both Nine Inch Nails and How to Destroy Angels, which is a sub project that is just awesome.
Oh, good.
He was the chief creative officer for Beats Music, the streaming service owned by Beats Electronics, which is now owned by Apple. And Apple has said, of course, that they are going to be folding Beats Music into some other unnamed project. And it would, you know, with the there were a lot of executives, obviously, that were at Beats, and it was at first unknown whether or not Trent would be actually going to Apple, but we know, of course, that he did go to Apple. But he said in this interview with Billboard magazine that you know, Apple came to him and said that they really thought that his talents could be useful on another project, and he wouldn't say what it was. Did say that it was, he confirmed that it was in streaming music, and he said that he thinks that streaming music is the future. And he talked about you know, the fact that there's a whole generation of kids that will just go to YouTube and listen to a tune for free without paying for it, and that, you know, that this entire generation of people doesn't believe in paying for music. And he's saying that as someone whose livelihood is tied to people paying for music. It's a really interesting interview, and there you have it.
Now, as I recall, and it's hard for me to keep track of everything because there's so many things to keep track of, this is like the first time Trent Reznor has spoken publicly about what he's doing with Apple.
Yes, I think he's tweeted about it a couple of times, but nothing substantive. And this definitely was substantive. And he, like, one of the things he said that I thought was just really, really, you know, interesting and fun, he said, I got to find it now. He said that it was everything I asked for, and the bad thing is that it's everything I asked for. he talks about how he's just well outside his comfort zone working at Apple, and how much he appreciates that, and how much working outside his comfort zone pushes him. And he even compared, he talked a little bit about working outside his comfort zone as a musician too, and how he occasionally tries to do that. So he says that he is fully in it, at least for now.
That's awesome. And we now know that there is some new plan that Apple has for streaming music.
Well, we kind of knew that. There wasn't really a whole lot of new information there.
True, but
Trent is actively engaged on it, and he was.
Yeah,
Trent was a big part of the human curated side of Beats music.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was pretty much in charge of that.
It's a very safe bet that Apple is looking to bring that human curated feature to whatever sort of iTunes branded music streaming service eventually comes out of this. That seems to be a safe bet. He didn't say so specifically, but it seems to be a safe bet.
But that is the thing that I was sort of hoping for, that I thought was the thing that gave Beats the appeal, was the fact that it was human curated, and that was something that the other services didn't have. So when people were like, Apple bought Beats, like that was the only thing to me that stood out as something that was unique to Beats, that was something that you couldn't get, you can't really get human curated in that fashion from Spotify or RDO or any of the other places. And I do want to point out, for people who think that maybe Trent Reznor's name sounds familiar, but the name Pretty Hate Machine does not, he's also somebody who does film scores from time to time. He did The Social Network, which I think was nominated for an Oscar for the score. He did, I want to say he did the score for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and he did the music for the current film, Gone Girl. Yeah. So I can't freaking wait. Whatever it is that he's up to, he's always been a person who has been unafraid of experimentation. And, you know, if it failed, oh well. He did some crazy stuff with his last few albums as far as the way they were distributed. He did a couple on Donationware. He did some bonus tracks where, like, you could play a treasure hunt at some point during one of the tours that he was doing. And you could, like, play along, and if you figured out all the clues, you could find, like, a thumb drive with bonus tracks on it and things like that. So he's always kind of in the middle of trying to do something new and different and cool and interesting. So the fact that Apple was like, hey, it would be really awesome if you came and did something cool and interesting for us, like, whatever it's going to be really different and is going to be a very cool way to do it. How useful or how successful that ends up being remains to be seen, but should be great.
Cool. All right. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of this. And we are out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining me. And Kelly, thank you too. It's always a blast having both of you on.
My pleasure.